pray. Heavenly Father, your very presence guaranteed. The Lord Jesus Christ's birth coming to this earth to give us redemption. Your very presence today also guarantees the rebirth of the earth, Lord. Redemption plan going on apace, and we're part of it already. We pray, Lord, that therefore this word that was given for the hour restoration be made very clear to us today, that we not only accept it, but we assimilate it, Lord, that we understand it, and it brings forth fruit in our lives, O God, unto eternal life, to the glory of Almighty God. Father, we know that you have done something in us and for us, Lord, something to us, and we count on that, Lord, to be the finishing work of this hour that will bring the dead out of the ground, Father, and bring us into immortality. We give thee praise for helping us study this morning this wonderful message brought to us by vindicated prophet. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 4, the future home of the earthly bride. And we closed off reading on page 26 in the paragraph 121. And up to this point, we find Brother Branham explaining carefully that the combined scripture in 2 Peter 3 and Revelation 21 do not say that God will annihilate the heavens and earth, necessitating another completely new creation, nor does he simply dissolve completely and entirely the heavens and earth, reducing them to an amorphous heap of original building blocks, like some people think go back to hydrogen, from which he rebuilds them, but that God actually and only burns up what is on the earth's surface and around the earth so that he cleanses it completely of the old order or cosmos or any and all things that defile so that the devil and his demons are annihilated, all evil government is gone, all germs, all thorns, and any and everything that offends. And then God brings it all out as in a resurrection, and then he comes down and lives here on earth with his people and his own order of government in effect. It reminds us of the flood, for only the earth cosmos and its appurtenances were destroyed at that time. Now it is to be fire that purifies it and does the very same thing. So it's good to read paragraph 119 and 120 and 21 on page 26 and then go on. But before we do, it is well to recall that Brother Branham continuously refers to this cleansing and restoration as the process of redemption and constantly draws our attention to the fact that all things redeemable must come by and through this one pattern of water, blood, life, for justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism, to prepare us to be the home or dwelling place of God, as with the individual, so with the earth and with the heaven. So, we start reading here then on page 26, paragraph 119. We were just at the bottom of the page. Notice some of you Bible students in Peter, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, he uses the word world from the Greek word cosmos, which means the world order. That's true. The earth shall pass away, melt the elements with fervent heat. See, doesn't mean the earth, the planet, is going to pass away, but the world order or cosmos, the politics, the sinners, the system, sin, disease, germs, everything that's wrong will pass away. God once shook the earth, but this time to shake the heavens also, see? For we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, the eternal kingdom. Watch how he goes about to do it. Now, in here you'll notice that God is going to destroy the earth with, that is the part of the earth which is corrupted, which is chaotic, which is not of him. And Brother Branham didn't know a thing about AIDS and what we have today, but he did know homosexuality had increased and the social diseases had gone rampant. And he didn't know about, as we understand, mutation of germs today, although he knew a little bit about it, nor did he understand, because nothing much was being said about genetic splicing. So what we have today is that man is loosing upon earth the various things which he has conjured up and worked with, and various germs which he has tried to use effectively in immunization, and also they're trying to use these the DNA and the RNA, and gone about doing splicing, and it's going to turn upon the earth as everything does turn upon us. And it's going to be very, very destructive and very, very horrible. Now, I wanted to really get through this series as quickly as I can, but because these tapes go out and many people do not have access to the literature I have access to, I'm going to read you from what's called The Cutting Edge by Dr. Douglas. And he's quite outstanding in what he is into. Now he says the AIDS germ doesn't cause AIDS. Now, like a knife doesn't cause a wound when you get stabbed. He says the AIDS germ doesn't cause AIDS. It takes the AIDS virus called HIV, plus another germ to get the deadly syndrome that we know is acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Retroviruses are all leukogenic. That is, they cause an increase in the white cells, which we know is leukemia, a mad proliferation of cells and consequent death. That's true, because they just gobble everything up and destroy your organs and all. But the AIDS virus is not like that. It does just the opposite and destroys cells. So, see, one causes one thing to happen in your body, do a thing, then this goes directly across. It's cytocidal, not a leukemogenic. So it doesn't make a lot of white cells, and all it goes about doing its own thing. Why would this one retrovirus act differently from all the others? It doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not up to know all these terms, and Peter's not here to help me. Retroviruses pretty much minded their own business until the virologists started messing with them. There are exceptions, of course. The myxoma virus sent millions of rabbits into that great hutch in the sky, almost wiped them out. I think that happened under a French doctor wanting to get the rabbits in his garden. But you know rabbits, they made a comeback. I'm not sure that man can. If HIV can be detected in 6 weeks, why can the victim remain free of symptoms for years? It only takes days for the virus to reproduce. But the quantity of virus present usually remains low, with or without the patient showing signs of AIDS. That doesn't make any sense either, because by contrast, all of their viruses are expressed at high titers, T-I-T-R-E-S, whatever that is, when they function as pathogens. In other words, infections, whether they are from regular germs or a virus, don't cause you to be sick until they are present in large numbers. Why should AIDS be any different? Has AIDS changed the rules of nature? Probably not. What if they have? You see why it's got to go? Because it's part of a wrong cosmos. See, things are out of control. But if the rules haven't been changed, they must at least have been bent a little, because the AIDS virus destroys its own house. A virus cannot reproduce outside of a host cell. Most viruses reproduce in the cell and leave the cell intact, but AIDS destroys its host. There seems to be a gap in our knowledge. In fact, government scientists made a shocking admission at a recent meeting of the National Institute of Health. The people who are supposed to deliver us from AIDS, and they're the ones that are in charge. They admitted that they hadn't the foggiest idea of the life cycle of the AIDS virus or the basis of AIDS infection. So how are you going to fight it? Now, they know a lot about cancer, but they know nothing about this. Dr. Duisberg, University of California, Berkeley, in fact, goes so far as to say, the extremely low levels of virus expression cast doubt whether the virus is even necessary to cause AIDS. Oh-ho. Or any other diseases which are associated with which it's associated. So they're more than stuck now. That's the expert. In other words, Duisberg thinks that the AIDS virus may just be a frequent fellow traveler. So you got to have something to get something. The AIDS viruses are shown not to be sufficient to cause AIDS, and the evidence that they are necessary to cause it is debated. People aren't going to like this because it means we are still facing an unknown. If the germ has at least been identified, that's progress. Hasn't been. To that, you know, to the degree they want. But fighting the unknown is another matter. Back to square one, as the saying goes. In other words, as far as they've come, it doesn't mean a thing. Duisberg's theory is getting support from an unexpected source, the syphilis germ. That's natural. No more than apples would cause babies. What causes babies? Sex. So they're trying to make the Bible sound like a book for jackasses, but this is going to be okay. Science. How stupid can people get? Let's keep reading. Let's find out. Duisberg theory is getting support from an unexpected source, the syphilis germ. There is a remarkable and mysterious connection between AIDS and syphilis. Why shouldn't there be? There were 4,000 cases of syphilis in New York City alone in the first 6 months of 86. In 1985, there were only 2,000 for the entire year. It would be easy to assume that this increase in syphilis is just another example of multiple venereal diseases seen in the homosexual population. The AIDS-infected individual usually has at least one or other venereal disease. Ha-ha. Herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia. Why not syphilis? Sure they do. Why... While this is true, it goes much deeper than that. Syphilis of the brain. Neurosyphilis takes years after initial infection to develop. That's where you get locomotor ataxia. In AIDS patients who contract syphilis, the neurosyphilis may appear in a matter of months. In AIDS patients who contract syphilis, neurosyphilis then can come in a matter of months, not years anymore now. Which leads to the question, is much of the AIDS dementia, see, that ends up here, now being seen actually neurosyphilis? You follow what he's saying here? Okay, got to keep them separate because they're both doing the same thing. And one in AIDS brings it on very rapidly, where syphilis alone will take a long time. So is syphilis then the traveler that brings this on in our body? Well, there's no doubt that it's a connected thing because this is a sexual-related disease. And an even more provocative question, is it possible that AIDS is nothing but a new and extremely virulent form of syphilis? Some experts think so, but most at this point do not. A review of pre-penicillin medical literature brought out a startling finding. Kaposi's sarcoma and pneumocystis, Carini pneumonia, rarely seen in other than AIDS patients, were quite common in patients with syphilis. So you see, we're getting the same symptoms, the same problem. Joan McKenna of the University of California, Berkeley, is a believer. When you have a simple explanation like syphilis and a more complicated one like a fancy retrovirus, why not go with the simpler one and at least see where it takes you? Of course, because they won't spend the billions of dollars on that one. That's too simple. It's the same like cancer. You can't have preventive medicine or anything. Oh, no. They got to sort up too big money here. If you want to make money, just find out what drug company is getting near something the government, FDA, get a little leak in there where the FDA says we got something to help AIDS. Then you put your money in there fast because your $2 will be $100 in 6 months. You want to make money? I kid you not. Just read your stock reports. See? That's our government. And God's going whoosh, with the flame of fire. Can't wait to see his blowtorch. If I go with it, fine. I'm coming to me. Other signs are pointing at herpes, or at least as at least a cofactor in the development of AIDS. It is found in 75% to 100% of the AIDS cases. Some investigators go so far as to say that herpes is a form of syphilis. See, they're getting it all back together. There are other sources. Epstein-Barr virus is found in close to 100% case of AIDS, as is the hepatitis B virus. The AIDS virus, Dr. Duisberg says, may be just a passenger virus for any of those which then kill the patient. He concludes, it seems likely that the AIDS virus is just the most common among the opportunistic viral infections of AIDS patients rather than the cause of AIDS. The disease then would be caused by an yet unidentified agent which may not even be a virus. Maybe the syphilis theory isn't so crazy. Now, here's an article here going on, and this has to do with the doctors who are playing God by making their vaccines. The evidence continues to mount that there are no safe vaccines. We now know that the Sabin polio vaccine, the cold shot vaccine, the swine flu vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine, and of course the smallpox vaccine of the World Health Organization were all contaminated with polio-like and cancer-causing viruses. I'd like to have a shot of that secure and get this. Nice, isn't it? Like the government says, we'll protect you. And they take all our money and do anything wrong with us. It's all the same lousy, stinking category, brother, sister. That's why it's all going to get destroyed. Who do you think has brought this on? It's the government. Because they've licensed the AME and the doctors. They can do what they want. But God forbid a chiropractor had a say in something. Or a naturopath. Yeah. Oh, no. Because that will make the drug company billions of dollars. What was it Mr. President said when our trade was getting into a big slump and deficit? Why, we're going to make money, billions of dollars on the drugs we sell overseas. The drugs made by a thug, and the thugs make the drugs. You can see that. The new studies now point the finger at the German measles rubella vaccine as the cause of the chronic fatigue syndrome, also mistakenly called Epstein-Barr, or the yuppie disease. The vaccine received with fanfare by public officials when introduced is a live virus. These live virus vaccines are always dangerous and fraught with unpredictable results. What about them putting the stuff on our gardens to keep strawberries from freezing? You'd think we would have learned a lesson from the polio vaccine disaster. No, as long as there's money, you don't learn any. You don't learn lessons. The lesson is you can get a lot of money and get away as long as you've got enough of it. That's why Brother Branham opposed capital punishment. Because the black man and the poor white got strung up and the rich white guy got away. Just like Kennedy in the Chappaquiddick. Two things saved him. You know what they are. If you don't by now, we'll have to inform you. You'd think we've learned a lesson of polio vaccine, the results of which we are only now seeing in the form of brain cancer. Brain cancer. The problem is Allen of Algorithms Incorporated sees it, is that the virus lives in vaccinated children for years and can be transmitted easily through a touch, a cough, or a kiss. There's your mono and the whole bit. That's casual contact. German measles is not just for children anymore. Everybody can have it, thanks to the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, the world virologists. The pathetic thing is that German measles is a very benign disease lasting only a few days in most patients. So why bother with it? The only people at risk are newborn babies and mothers who catch the disease during early pregnancy. A very small percentage of people, not warranting the massive vaccination program that started in 1977. It's gone full 9 years. It's got another cycle, more vicious every 9 years cycle. Now pregnant mothers may be at even greater risk because millions of people are carrying the virus through inoculation or infection from an inoculated person. Have fun. So many interesting questions arise. Aren't these the same people who gave us the swine flu vaccine, paralysis, gamma globulin, AIDS, polio vaccine, brain cancer? Is this part of a conspiracy to destroy the health of American people? Now, he's getting a little bit red here. Here's your red herring. Are these vaccines used in Russia and by other enemy countries? You know they're not, but that doesn't mean anything. Can you, with the terrible record, trust any vaccine recommended by public health officials? Is there Epstein-Barr or other viral contaminants involved here? Wouldn't number five seem likely in view of the past record? Number five, whatever that is. In other words, wouldn't there be simply a greater continuation? He says, number five is Epstein-Barr by viral contaminant involved here, so therefore these others also prove they're virally, they're viral contaminants. Seven, has anybody bothered to check, as Dr. Peyton Ruth said in 1935, since what one thinks determines what one does in research, it is well to think something. What they should be thinking is, which virus is it this time, and how did it get there? And they're not doing that. They're just madly going ahead. The last and most important question is, are all these young people dragging themselves around from doctor to doctor looking for a cure for their fatigue going to eventually get cancer like many other victims did with the public health medicine? And there's millions of them. Some experts suspect that the chronic fatigue syndrome, now believed to be spreading through German measles vaccination, is actually human B leukemia lymphoma virus, HBLV. The prevalence of this deadly infectious cancer has increased over 200% in California during the last 10 years. HBLV in humans is identical morphologically to African swine fever virus and probably genetically engineered in a laboratory to make it infectious to humans. They deliberately do it. Dr. Albert B. Sabin divides cancer into two categories, cancers that God made and cancers that the virologist made. I separate them because I'm not at all sure that God does what virologists do or like to do. Sabin doesn't call virologists the fifth horse and block of the apocalypse, but he comes close to it. There's a quote here by a doctor. I wanted to read what she had to say, but I don't see it. It must be in one of my other articles that I got the other day. It says, AIDS spreading rapidly. The critical mass for AIDS infection when practically everybody except possibly a few Eskimos will be infected will be reached when AIDS becomes pneumonia. That is spread from lung infection and vector transmitted, that is, by mosquitoes. There's very disturbing news in this regard. There is little doubt that tuberculosis can carry the AIDS virus with it, either piggybacked or incorporated into his gene pool. Tuberculosis has never been cured. Can't be. Now we have reports of a dramatic increase in histoplasmosis, a fungus or yeast disease of the lungs, coming from South America. With tuberculosis and histo increasing dramatically, pneumonic spread of AIDS is an ever increasing possibility. It's no longer sexual now, it's just breathing. Five immigrants in New York with AIDS were found recently to have histoplasmosis. That's that lung problem. Now we have two horsemen riding the mosquito to help solve the population problem. Too many people? They'll soon be gone. Malaria, a parasite, yellow fever, a virus. If a cow virus, BLV, can be combined with a sheep virus, SVV, to make AIDS, why can't a mosquito virus, yellow fever, combine with the AIDS virus to form super AIDS transmitted by mosquitoes? And the answer is, possibly it will. You can't rule it out. Nigeria has announced a raging yellow fever epidemic. 331 deaths reported June 1987. The problem is that DDT was banned by the environmentalists in favor of the eagles, which I can understand. Now, people are dying like flies all over the world from malaria, yellow fever, dengue fever, typhus, and other insect-borne diseases. Dengue. Now, I don't like DDT here, but whether you like it or not, there is no doubt that it saved millions of lives in the equatorial mosquito belt. I predict that DDT will make a comeback after proving that AIDS virus can be carried by parasites, malaria. Other viruses like Epstein-Barr, yellow fever, bacteria, tuberculosis, yeast, histoplasmosis. The gay men's health crisis received $674,679 of your tax money in 1986 and 7. The homosexuals are facing a vicious and deadly backlash from decent Americans. Yet they push on with their program of degeneracy, confident that the federal government will continue to give them protection and financial support. And they probably will. Well, do you blame God for just more or less setting a fire in the world? He's duty bound to do it. You tell me how God would have a way out. There's no way. See, now, he says here he's going to take the cosmos. Paragraph 119. Politics, sinners, the system. FDA, AMA. Strange. You can't even get the AMA to allow a linoleic acid, an oil, finest oil in the world, if you're going to use oils at all. It's made out of flaxseed, cold-pressed method in Germany. Articles written all around the world about it. But the FDA says no, but if you put your bottles on and say it's good for your complexion, it's okay. When you pray money and the premium is stupidity, there's something wrong somewhere. Do you think that God would allow that to go on? How long before God is going to judge for the sake of the people? Go to, ye rich men, weep and howl. They're going to get the worst of it. They haven't made their money right. They've taken God's heritage here for God's people and done desperate with it. Look at America. 200 years in America were far worse shaped than Europe. They've been over there thousands of years tilling their soil. Over here got nothing left but a dust belt anymore. See, God has got to end it. And that's all there is to it. Everything has got to go. It's all going to pass away. We'll study that word pass away in a little while. God once shook the earth. This time he's going to shake the heavens also. We're going to receive a kingdom that cannot be removed. The eternal kingdom. Now watch how he goes about to do it. Now listen, Brother Branham makes the statement. For we reserve a kingdom that we receive a kingdom that cannot be removed. And that's an eternal kingdom. Now how can it be eternal when it's got a beginning? The point is, it assumes eternality by the place it takes. Because from this time on, nothing is going to happen that's bad to it. And you know, we got a little scripture here. Brother Branham doesn't use it. But seeing he gave us the clue to it, we're going to use it. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. And because this is redemption of the mankind, what about the earth? It's the same thing. Verse 15, he says in verse 49. Now, let's start with 48. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they that are also heavenly. There's a difference. And as we born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed. In a moment, twinkling eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's what's going to happen to the earth. All the corruptible is going to be destroyed and superseded by the incorruptible. See? And there'll be nothing at any time that'll defile. So we're going to be in an eternal condition, not on grounds that our bodies were eternal or this earth was eternal, but it now assumes eternality in the plan of Almighty God through the eternality of God himself. Now notice, Peter said here, and will melt with the fervent heat, and the works therein are burnt up. Not the planet, but the works therein, the works of man, or what was caused by man through the power of Satan. All their politicians and their schemes, all their denominations and man-made schemes will all go when it burns. Sure. Let's face it, the perpetrators must go with what they perpetrated. That's only fair. Like the Bible said, he that sheddeth man's blood, by man's blood be shed. When would Genesis 6 and 9 or 9 and 6 ever change? You tell me. People want to change everything. That's one of the great sins, is changing government. It's right in the Bible. Changing government. Yes, sir, you watch it. They changed in the garden. Satan took over. God gave him a theocracy with a prophet. They kicked him out to put a king in there. See, America took a great step forward when it tried to go back to what was right. Coming over here. Now, they're just as messed up as anybody. Government has changed. People can say what they want. We send elected representatives to represent us and do our will. The minute they get in there, they do their own. There is no difference between us and communism when it comes right down to a final, thus saith the Lord in the scripture here. They are no worse than we are. In fact, I think they're a step ahead of us. Gorbachev has now apologized to the Greek Orthodox Church. You know what that is? That's the same as the Catholic Church, Roman, taking the bones of Joan of Arc, if they could find them, put them in a nice tomb, and dig up the bones of the priest that killed her, and burn them and say, now, that's nice. It doesn't work. Russia's shot. We're shot. It's the end of time. Politics and apology won't do it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, acted upon by the Holy Ghost, will do anything. And if you're not under the blood, you better get under the blood, brother, sister. I don't care how young or how old you are. See? Now, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice here? The heavens will pass away at the great noise. Listen, the whole earth will be on fire, and it will ignite the gases that's in the earth and explode it. Exactly. True. The Bible said here, Peter said, the heavens and earth will pass away, and the earth with a great noise. Heaven has a great now. Such an explosion will rock it. Oh my. Because it's got to kill every disease, every thistle, every thorn, everything there is to be done, the fire will burn it up. Now you know the fire is the second death in annihilation in the lake of fire. And this earth is going to get its annihilation in this sense. There is an end to it, and I mean an end to it. It's all over. My, how could these exploiters that sell their own grandmother and their grandchildren down the road for a buck, how would they like it over there? They wouldn't like it over there. The only reason the devil likes it is he found someone to exploit. You know, you can't exploit rocks, so he gets men to exploit rocks. Bust up all the nice rocks, make concrete, everything else. For a while, they just threw them at each other. Now, God knows what they do with the rocks. See? It'll rock, mighty, it'll kill every thistle and germ on. The fire's going to burn it up. And remember, it's not altogether, now this isn't just a literal fire, it's a holy fire. See? That will take away Satan and all of his devils, both heaven and earth, will pass away, killing all the germs, all the insects, all nature life on it, around it, even the water will explode H2O. That's the chain reaction, atomic reaction. Think of it, talk about noise. Now, it is a holy fire. Now, when you look at the holy fire, you realize that it's accomplishing something that is spiritual. In other words, accomplishing something that God wants for the welfare and the implementation of His plan, which is to gather His whole family in the heaven and earth together in the paradise of God. So it's a holy fire. It's a great purging fire. John the Baptist said, behold, his fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his floor in order to gather the wheat in the garner. God's got to clean up the mess. And he's going to do it. So therefore, it is a holy fire because it is a just and righteous fire by a just and wonderful God. Let's read this over here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I never get tired of reading the Bible because in preaching these sermons, you know, I usually miss a lot of Scripture. We don't even start with Scripture most of the time. We just start reading where Brother Branham said. Now, here it says here concerning you and me, the end time, verse 18 in Hebrews 12. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the voice of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it must be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Is it getting hot in here for you down there? Getting kind of hot up here. But you are come unto Mount Zion. You are approaching unto the new Jerusalem, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than out of Abel. Now it tells you who are involved here. And they who are involved have predeceased us. Now we are being involved because of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend and shout with the voice of the archangel and trumpet of God. The dead in Christ rise first and so on. You see? You can see what we're talking about here. Now watch. It says to those people that you and me at this hour of the appearing, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now remember, don't you fail, listen to the speaker. And the speaker is not God, it's a prophet. Because Sinai, God speaking orally to the people, is finished. No longer seeing, no longer hear. So, you better know that someone's going to be here. And the Bible categorically said it's Elijah. Okay. Now, for if they escaped not or refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him from heaven. It doesn't say speaking from heaven. It says turning away from the one from heaven. Who's that? Revelation 10:1. Who's the prophet? Revelation 10:7. Who is it? Elijah. That's right. Remember, Malachi 4 speaks of fire. Now watch. Whose voice then shook the earth when he was on earth? That's Jesus on Calvary. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, if he was in the form of a prophet then, he's got to be in the form of a prophet now. Is that right? This is right. Can't be otherwise. There's no way you can do what you want. There's no way you can take it. There's no other way. And Brother Branham said the last great thing before the coming of the Lord was God appearing in human flesh. Oh, people don't like that. Well, that puts Brother Branham, he's the one. Why, he's too big. Well, okay, Joe Blow, would you like to stand up and take it? John Doakes? Who wants to do it? Well, oh, you know, I hate to. Simpering bunch of jerks. How sick can they get? I know why God wants to vomit the end time, because I feel like it, and I got an awful strong stomach. I'm not at all sensitive like God is. And I could just barf on the whole thing. Pardon the language, I use it on purpose. So you get the point. Now listen, don't turn away from one that speaks, that came from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now promise, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Well, you know what that is. That's Revelation. Stars are going to fall. Everything's going to be shaken. And it's going to continue that way with an interim of 1,000 years and then take it up with most violent force ever known. When the whole thing gets purged. Remember, there's an interim of 1,000 years here. And this word once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. In other words, where every man put his hand to work with whatever was original upon this earth, God's going to dump it. And there's no place it wasn't. Do you think it is? What about our gases here? Going up to Canada, killing all the trees. Killing all our trees. You like maple syrup? Better start putting in a supply every year. They got some. The next 2 or 3 years, maple sugar trees are dying. The whole thing's gone. Now listen, as of things that are made, as of things that are made, they made sin. They made havoc. They made destruction. The tornadoes blew in. The hurricanes blew in. The typhoons came. All of these things must go. Because its nature out of the control of Almighty God. You saw, we saw right here reading just an article by Dr. Douglas, and he's the top authority on these things. Okay. Only that which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, that's true. What wasn't under man, he couldn't get to, or under the devil, a structure, a framework. Everything else burned off, but that never was shaken. God will just form something on top of it. It's like a resurrection. Now watch. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, eternal, Brother Brand said, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, knowing this and abstaining from it. For our God is a consuming fire and everything that isn't fit to stay is going to be consumed. The United States is going to go. Italy's going to go. Russia's going to go. It's all going to go. There will be nothing left at the time this happens. Now you better believe it. Now, he says here, it's a literal fire, but it's a holy fire. It's a purger. Look how it started over here, the same as it was in the days of Jesus. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest any sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom he hath to do, which is the judge. And it's already set in order now through the prophetic word in this sermon what is going to burn. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, fine by me. I don't care what you believe. The less you believe, the better it is me, because there's got to be very few of us who do believe. I'm not malicious. I'm just natural old cruddy Lee Vale up here. I told you, there's some wonderful guys in history, and I'm ashamed to put my name with them, like John the Beloved, Paul the Aged, and Lee Vale the Cruddy. I'll just tell you flat. I put my name to let you know where they stand, where I stand. I'm not like those fine men of gentle sentiments. I'll be honest with you. I wish I were. I love people and I love you, but God knows I'm not going to stand up here and tell you a bunch of hogwash and palliate conditions when they're not to be palliated. We've got to get down to remedies, brother, sister, and get out of here. We can't be like the drug company, the doctors, and the government, interested in billions of dollars. See? But Liberace's money didn't save him. No, he went to court. There's somebody called him a homo, and he said he wasn't even on a court case, but he died of AIDS. And Jessica Hahn said she wasn't a prostitute, but if she's Liberace, she turned around and got an AIDS test. Why? Shit off his plate? Come on, for heaven's sake, you can't be naive. The girl always was a prostitute. She had to be. God's going to destroy this brother, sister. Now, let's face it. He's coming from a virtuous bride, a virgin bride. You young people are the luckiest people this world's ever seen. Outside the first church age, because you're born into something so rich and so real with the power of God that you don't have a problem unless you deliberately make it like a bunch of idiots. Now, if your parents don't take care of you, you better tell your parents something. That's right. You're on your own. See, you can see right here. Listen, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't retrogress. I wouldn't want my youth. I don't even want to go back last year, although this year with the arthritis is worse than last year. It is so much better already this year, spiritually speaking, where I know the truth. I would not go back for $1 billion. First of all, I couldn't get $1 billion, and secondly, I wouldn't know how to spend it. I'd be stuck with some stupid thing like the rest of the billionaires. Forget it. I'll take my 2 bits and stand with God. Give their little 2 bits to the kids to help me spend it. All right, here's what it says. It's a holy fire. Take away Satan, all these devils, heaven and earth. Amen. Will pass away, killing all the germs. All insects. Amen. Especially those that bite. All natural life on around it. Oh, I did want to get rid of those mosquitoes. I didn't know it now was going to be done. Even the age of the water is going to explode. Do you think about it? Talk about a noise. You think that little noise out there in Tucson was something when he opened the 6 seals? I said, ha-ha, there it is. He opened only 6 seals. And how come Brother Branham said the 7th seal was Revelation 10, 1 to 7? I don't buy it. Under the 7th seal, he said, was all the thunders, and we have the thunders, because they're the mysteries to put us in the rapture. You say, why? Don't ask me. Just look at the word, what the word of God said. See? Okay. That shook the country round about and caused the talk. Wait till the earth receives her baptism. You know, when a man receives the baptism of the of fire, there's a lot of noise round there. They think that it's a shame to hear people scream and shout like that. Just wait till this earth gets her baptism. Wait till it explodes, the H2O, the water. For the Bible said in Revelation 21, there was no more sea. In other words, that's the dissolution of it. Tommy reaction. This is a definitive statement that Brother Branham makes, based upon his vindication from God as a prophet. All right, this will change the whole surface of the entire earth. In other words, all of what Satan and man has worked over and used and changed and perverted shall burst and blow to pieces on the outside, which is the crust, and even to hundreds of feet below it. It will just simply be completely demolished. Rubble and changed. The atmospheres, the gases, that's in the earth now where they're finding these missiles. They can't get through it. Great spheres up in there, way up in some kind of a sphere. There's all kinds of gases, they'll say, and that'll burst. The holy wrath of God will come upon it, will cleanse it. It will change the entire surface. Now, I don't know what Brother Branham means here exactly, but I think he means that the expanse up there is so great, you send a missile up to Mars, and if the gravity doesn't bring it in to circle Mars and keep circling, it'll just keep moving and moving and going and going and going. And they find by using the spectroscope and getting pictures back, radiograms, what have you, from these satellites that are going around the world and sending back pictures, they can tell you what kind of gases are up there. Absolutely. And it's going to explode. And say it's even got to go hundreds of miles, if not thousands, because there's debris up there floating around right now, and they're trying to figure a way to get the debris out of the way, because they're traveling about 24,000 miles an hour. What's more than that, I guess, up there? Little tiny pellets. Right through like that. A satellite. They're trying to use the material that's bulletproof estimate on it to see if it'll work. Then send things up there and with little cranes and all and try to drag it in. Pitiful little man. But boy, is he a troublemaker. It's just like one cotton picking big bug. Bite me and I swallow up over my whole body. Itch, scratch, 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 itch. Yeah. Holy wrath of God is going to stop all this mess. 126. Now, many of you that want to put down the word, the Greek word pass away. It comes from a certain word I had to find out. I thought, how's the world going to pass away and yet we're going to live on it? And that's a good question. How's it going to pass away and I'm going to be here living on it? But you notice some of you people that want to put it down, I'll spell it for you. I couldn't pronounce it. So he spells in the Greek P-R-E-R-E-C-H-O-M-I. And I think that's Perukaomi. Now, that way, as I said, when I get the inspiration, strikes me for something, then I'll go back to find out the word. Now, you see, the inspiration struck him. He's praying. That's how this sermon came. And he said within himself, now, how is the world going to pass away if I'm going to be on the word? Because this is what it's actually saying here. So he's got to go and try to find it out. And he said, I can't spell it and I can't pronounce it. But in that the Lord has given me away, I go and find out what that word means. Then I got it. Now, he tells you the Lord has given him away, which is not like my way of simply going to the Greek and checking it out. So he's got another way that though he does go to the Greek, it's not simply like a student that uses his mind only and says, well, I got to compare these scripture and see if I can find out something. So he explains here he feels impelled to check out the word for meaning that the translators are losing in the word that they're using. It's not simply the right word. So God begins to deal with him to watch what that word is and go with God into the Bible and see what this word really means. And remember, it has to align with redemption. Did you get what I said? If he's going to find a word, it has got to align with redemption. Right? Right, because that's what he said so. That's what we're all about. See, heavens and earth will pass away. Now, this word means passing from one form to another. It does not mean annihilation. As the English word would mean pass away, that would be annihilated. But the Greek word here does not mean annihilation. That kind of passing away. It means passing from one thing to another. See? It says to pass from one condition to another. All right, now, let's read 128. Now, notice, Paul used it. If you want to read it now, put it down and read it later. It's Titus 3 and 5. Okay? We'll read it right now, because this is later, right? Much later. And I think you know the verse because at one time, like me, you memorized and then forgot it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing of regeneration. See? Now, Paul is using this same word. Now, the word regeneration is not the word he spelled from the Greek. See? But he said Paul is using the word regeneration applying to the man, the sinner, the sheep gone astray, like he, John, applied this, or Peter rather, to the earth. Everything redeemable must follow one pattern. Now remember, the earth had water, blood, fire, change. Man has water, blood, fire, Holy Ghost, purification, Holy Ghost coming in. What? Change. Redemption for the body. All right. Paul is using this same word. Means regeneration of man. That man is passed from a sinner to a saint. Not completely annihilated. When a man's changed, he isn't annihilated, but he's a changed person. He's been changed from what he was to what he is. Not annihilated. Now remember, he's using the terminology of redemption. 129. Jesus used the same word in Matthew 28:19 is be baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 19 and 28. All right, let's go to Matthew, because he said read it later. What's this, 23-24 years later? So we read it together here. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this word is recreation, according to the Greek. Palingenesia. Not the same as the other word. Recreation, making new. Same word in Titus. But it's the same word that God said to the prophet, you don't go by the Greek. Only this one word. Now watch the rest begin to change and follow. So you can see a prophet doesn't do what a teacher would do. Teacher, he's just plumb stuck. They come to me and they say, well, where's your authority, Mr. Vail? You think you're a little bit of a teacher. Where'd your authority be to just change this? That's why the study of the Greek will never bring the bride together. It's got to be a revelation. And the revelation is redemption follows one pattern, and I don't care what words you use. It's 1, 2, 3, go! Water, blood, fire, change. So, all right, now we're talking business. And you know, anybody in his right mind knows this. You know, if you study the Word of God at all, and you're looking at the thing here, let's keep reading now. Now, he says, you'll sit with me in my Father's kingdom, regenerated, you see, changed. When you're changed, that's right, that's in it. Nobody can doubt that. He used the same word. And he used the same word when he said to the colt, when he said to the colt, loose the colt, set up the colt, or should be colt, that loose the colt and let it go. Now that word is not the same word at all again. It's the word dissolve. It'll be dissolved. I'm going to dissolve my marriage. I'm going to dissolve my partnership. I'm going to dissolve the sugar and water. Dissolve anything you want. I'm going to dissolve this contract of the colt to the tie post. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. They got untied from the tie post. They dissolved it. It was dissolution. A dissolving. One was making new. This is the dissolving. Said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Loose him. Now, this requires a change. Sugar dissolved is changed. The colt let go is changed. Lazarus let go is changed. So now you've got a change with a change, which is, hey, Everything of Satan is burnt up, period. Gone. Bam. I'm changed. This is changed. Loosed forever. Redemption. Do you see what Brother Branham is doing here? Oh, someone come back. Well, I see Brother Branham erred on the Greek. Hogwash, he erred on the Greek. You stupid jerk, you wouldn't know Greek nor Russian. Anyway, everything's Greek to me once you stop speaking English. See? Now you get the beautiful part of this. Loose him. He's been tied. Let him go. We've been tied for a long time. Thank God it's getting over. What does it mean, 130? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It'll be loosed. It'll be loosed from politics, loosed from denomination religious systems to be used for the kingdom of God to establish it here on earth. For as long as it's in the hands of Satan, politics, Satan's the ruler of this earth. He owns it. It belonged to him. But now Christ has redeemed it. There, see the beautiful picture he's painted. See, that's a real prophet taking the word of God. I wish I could do that, but there's no need to, and he does it for me. You know, why should I come and hoe your garden just to make it look good? You've already hoed the garden. If you haven't hoed it, I ain't going to come and do it anyway. It's a bit the same as this. You know, come on, take. If he mentions grace here. No, Hebrews 12 mentioned grace. Hey, let's read that for fun. This is a fun time being in the pulpit Sunday mornings. I have a great time. I hope you have a great time with me. I don't know. I sure hope you do. Because it's lots of fun. It's just so much fun to look at the Word of God. I mean, real scriptural. Yeah, look at it. In verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Let us be smart enough to take it as a free gift. Say, that's mine. Not like these birds out here trying to keep it. Trying to perpetuate something. Let go of it. Let go of it. God's got something better. You know how it is? Look at here. Let me tell you something. If you ever get in a position where some of you have gotten here over the years, if you started a couple of poor working kids get married and kids come along and it's tough, tough, tough. Pretty soon you get a little more money, it's a little better, and pretty soon the kids are all gone away. So when you really don't need the money, except maybe you get sick, you got the money. But you know what happens? You usually make your family a little better. Things get better, get better, get better. They do get better and better. Well, you know, the more you get along in this message here, the more things get better and better and better. See? And at the same time, no matter how good things are in this world, if you got this good stuff of God, you're happy to let loose anything you got and leave it all behind. Say, Lord, burn her. And Lord, if I can see some of it burn, be a nice lesson. Now I'll just stick around with you and see it burn. We will, by the way. And the poor greedy guys out there, if there's any greedy ones left by that, I'm looking up in the lake of fire. Oh, it's all burning. Oh, last battle, it's all burning. It ain't terrible at all. Hallelujah. Get rid of the junk. Get rid of it. The Bible warns us about that. A last battle, ain't it awful? No, praise God, it's great. I'm glad it's going. Well, I'm not as glad as I should be. Put it this way, I'm going to get glad as time goes on. I always have the things the earth kind of pull you. Say, well, here I am now. I'd like to enjoy this. I know for a while I used to wonder about the roads in America. In my heavens, here I'm getting so old, I won't be able to drive those roads. For the first time in America, I have roads east to west and north and south, a person can really drive on. It's not really true. They're breaking up already. Any new ones? Well, I say, well, isn't it too bad? Here I am going to be so old, I can't drive those nice roads. You can have it. Ain't no good anyway. See, now let's keep reading. The property's been loosed, and we've been loosed, and we've been tied to God. Praise the Lord. One time I was his property, Satan's, but not now. One time that old woman at the well was his property, but not now. He came to loose the grip of it. That's Satan's loose grip. He loosed the grip of sin of Satan upon my life, upon your life. And now we are not his. Have you often heard me say in prayer, take your hands off of God's property? Amen. See, that's an end time saying. Have faith to claim your own. That's your right. Again, he said to Satan, take your hands off of her. Take your hands off of him. See, faith will do it. It's being right done today by the word of the Lord. Oh my, not annihilate it, but just take your hands off it. To loose it. Let it go. Pass it away. Pass it on. See? It changes. Earth will change. Politics will change. Religions will change. Denominations pass away. Politics pass away. The kingdom of God shall be established. Now, in other words, everything goes into degeneration. But now, it's going into regeneration, where degeneration can never, ever come. So, one form of government, which is the cosmos of the ungodly, will now pass over into the cosmos of the godly. And God will reign and rule. Now, this sermon is a fantastic sermon, and it should do tremendous things for us, because it's vindicated to know that this has already started. Because this Hebrews 12 is spoken to the end time people. Right? Though every bride has a stake in it. You see? Now, there will always be government. There will never be a time when there is no government. But this will be the government of our God. We read in Revelation 6:14 concerning the skies and the earth, it departed as a scroll. As John said, I saw the heaven depart as a scroll, and the earth also. Revelation 6:14. Jesus said heaven and earth is going to pass away. Or in other words, heaven and earth should be changed. He used the same word right there again. Not annihilated. See? Pass away. It's going to change. For later, in Revelation 21:2 to 24, he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God in heaven and sitting upon this earth. It doesn't mean that the earth will be annihilated. The systems will be changed through the cleanup of the fire of God, because you see, it is a holy fire. And as a holy fire, it does not devour that which is right. It only devours that which is wrong. You know something, brothers and sisters, like the maggots. During the First World War, and they're doing it again now, the maggots would form on the soldiers' legs and arms. And those maggots would eat away all the pus and the rotten stuff, but they left all the good flesh. And doctors just haven't got a way to scrape out the corruption like a good old maggot will take care of it. And that's what you see in this holy fire. Now, I'm not trying to compare the fire with a maggot, but I'm telling you, it's in nature, right in nature under your noses. There is that which plot like the... like, look it, you can take oxygen. Oxygen destroys the anaerobic diseases that will kill you. But it feeds the aerobic, which are good for you. So the holy fire of God is a discriminating, judging fire whose fan is in his hand to thoroughly purge the floor. And the Holy Ghost breeze that was even caught on a tape in Water, Iowa, which has breezed across the world, across all mankind, is discriminating right now and is taking out the elect. So you see, it's a holy fire, brother, sister. In other words, you can depend on it. How nice. Like I see, we want to get this church to the place where if we have make-believers, believers and unbelievers here, which we could well have, I don't know. We just take everybody to be a believer with us. They're all trying, all believing to get there. But I'll tell you, if we set our hearts, my brother, sister, the love of Christ by the Holy Ghost can come into this church, and everybody anointed, everybody on fire for God with a beautiful congregation and the sick healed amongst us. You just see, you don't have to sit around and say, well, hey, if we just got rid of this and got rid of that, things would happen. I got news for you. It'll happen right now. Because they are happening right now. See, they weren't annihilated. For later in Revelation 21:2 to 24, he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven and sitting upon this earth. It does not mean annihilation, just the system. Daniel saw the same thing. A rock struck the world, was hewed out without hands. I spoke of that the other night. The whole image of the systems was broken down and became like chaff on a summer threshing floor. The fan just breezing it away, chasing it away. All gone. No more chaff. Praise God. The wind packed it away. And the rock grew itself into a great mountain that covered the earth. Watch that mountain now in a little bit. That mountain covered the earth. In other words, brother, sister, what you see here is the continuing kingdom of Almighty God. And it's already. Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. And we're looking at the word here. 16-18. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, now watch, or dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and they got took over. Taken over by Satan. Prostituted to the filth of this world. But he is before all things, and by him all things are maintained. He knows what's going on. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father him should all fullness. In other words, he's in control right now. Just waiting for the day when the church, which is the firstborn in his likeness, is going to come forth with him and take it all over. Now, Brother Brown talked to this stone made without hands. Let's go back to Daniel. And Brother Branham, I think, was speaking from the 4th of Daniel. Maybe, I don't know, 29 to 31. Some wrote it down anyway. Now, what I've written down here, I bet I'm going to read, first of all, 2. Go back to chapter 2, 31. Because that's what I want to read first. Now, here's the image that Daniel saw in the vision, and he's telling it to the king, what it's all about. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. That image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, was form was terrible. The image was fine gold, silver, and brass and iron. And 34, you saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were made of iron and clay, and break them pieces. Now, this other image was made by hands, signifying world dominion in 4 separate great political dominions. No more, no less. And it was going to be smashed. Now watch. 35 then was the iron, clay, and brass, and silver, and gold broken to pieces. Became like chaff with the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away. No place found for them. Annihilated. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Okay, now let's go to Daniel 4 and see the picture. 29-31. Now this is where Nebuchadnezzar is going to get what you call disciplined by God, because he said, all my hands have made this. Look at me, I'm somebody. At this time, just see 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from him saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, thee is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and so on. Now let's go down to... Well, we can just, that's about as far as you need to go. But then notice in verse 34, at the end of the days, I never just lift up mine eyes to heaven, my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him, liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his king one generation to another generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army heavens, among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what dost thou do? Or what are you doing this for? what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned to me. My counsel of my Lord sought of me, and I have established my kingdom, and excellent master is out of me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the God of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. Notice that judgment. That's the big thing. Judge, judge, judge. That's the big thing. Judge. Remember that. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now, that's what you're looking forward to in the very near future. Started already. Because the appearing, which sets the pattern for the coming, which sets the millennium and eternity going on and on and on, even through time, because we become eternal. Well, we're eternal, just clothed with eternality. We're going on. Now, 135. Also, we find over in Revelation there, it said the kings of the new earth will bring their honor and glory. Now, look at that. There's more government. The cosmos of God. Kings. Rulers. See? Something to do. The New Jerusalem is sitting on this earth. See? It is just changed. In other words, a complete picture of redemption is what we see. Redeem means to buy back. And every single thing that can be bought back is bought back. And we're right now in the cosmos of God. This illustrates it. You're the same man as stature. This is redemption concerning you. You're the same man as stature when God called you, or the same woman. But you see what it did. It was a regeneration. The old life that you had passed away. The old desires you had passed away. When you used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and be immoral, that thing just died, see? At that time, you were Satan's instrument. Now, you are redeemed. And you must be God's instrument, see? And that's what the word will be. The same way redeemed. Then it'll be God's instrument, no longer Satan's. A new heaven, a new earth, just like you. You are a new creature. And the Greek word there, anybody knows, said you are a new creation. Amen. A new creation. In the same old temple. What's he saying? A brand new order of government. See? That's right. That's why the church must be under God. A new creation. Hallelujah. Watch what happens here now. Glorious. All right. Now, when he mentioned new creation, of course, that's over here in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So we'll read what Brother Branham was talking about. And it may do us some good. Beginning at verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains it, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's right. Even the sheep. They were once dead, the others were double dead. And he died for all, that they should live, should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. That's the government. Right? Something's happened to you. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after flesh, yea, though we know in Christ after flesh, yet now henceforth know we no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, just like Christ. He hasn't got the same flesh he had. If you stabbed Jesus, he bled. If you hit him, he bruised. Try to stab him now. You can't. Jesus is not, he's not the same. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become in the government inside of us. Not yet the outside. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, to witness as a mediator or a delegate to the people, look, you can have what God says. And Brother Branham here is telling us what we're going to have in the new world. Witness to it. Notice reconciliation. To it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and so on. All right, 137. Now we find that this earth will hold the kings of the earth. That's right. Again in Matthew 5 and 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's us. And you don't miss it. It isn't going to have another earth. No, it's just going to be the same earth. I'm trying to get the plan of redemption to you. If I don't get anything else, a single plan for all. Now he's giving us a rule here. What God does for a certain purpose works every time for every other thing he's going to do it for. Save one man by the blood, offer blood again. Gives one man the Holy Ghost under certain conditions, got to do it again. Redeems man by a certain plan, got to redeem everything by a certain plan. See, everything is falling in order. Now, one, a single plan for a single redemption. So 138, because it means going back to God no matter what it is. 138, the baptism of fire on it only is to cleanse it and make it a fit place for his meat to live in. Why? Because the meat don't fight. And we certainly don't want anybody there to fight us. We've had enough fighting down here. If I have to go or I got to fight some more, forget it. If I got to fight myself and everybody else, I might as well say, look, I don't want to go. Sure, I'm like the girl said, I don't think I want to go. I'm not going to that kind of place anyway. The baptism of fire on it only is to cleanse it and make it a fit place for his meek. And remember, they're kings and priests. They're going to live it. See, all like he did us, this creation to live in, before he could come in it, that's you and me as temples, he had to give us the baptism of fire. Then the Holy Ghost can come in and live after the baptism of fire. Then when you get the baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. He keeps repeating it. What if it does? What if it does come? See, it burns up everything contrary to the word out of you. See? It won't believe anything else but the word, because it is the word. All right. Let's just find out something here, if that's right. Let's go to Malachi. Whoops, that went too far. Malachi 3rd chapter. Well, finished? What are we doing? Malachi 3 and 2. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he shall, when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Before he comes in and takes over, he scrubs with fuller's soap and he burns out with the fire. Okay, let's go to Psalm 97. Let's read something here. Starting in verse 1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the islands be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitations of his throne. Now watch what happens to get what he wants for his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. That's where he can sit down. So the Holy Ghost has got to have us have the fire. The Holy Ghost comes and burns out all the old denomination dogma, all the old things that are in there. Then the Holy Ghost himself, having cleaned out the roost, he can roost on it because he's a dove. Yep, cleans out your heart so he can get on the roost of your heart. The dove sits in there. That's right. That's what he's talking about. That's the Bible teaches that, my brother, my sister. All right. Now, from that point on, we are all Word believers. And we must understand this. As Brother Branham brought so clearly, there'll be nothing there but the Word. Why? Because the conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. Now let me explain something to you, what I've tried to preach in all these years, sermon after sermon, the love of God. As I said, I stand for even sleazy love. Look, sleazy love is better than no love. Brother Branham liked nice people, no matter what they were, he liked nice people. He says nice things, but anybody acts nice. That's why you don't hear him say anything about me. But I'm going to tell you something. I go for it. But it's been in my books, there is a phony love because the Bible said, let love be without hypocrisy. And he said, I show every manifestation, even give my body be burned, give all my goods to the poor, show everything that's love. It doesn't mean I really got it. Now let me tell you something. Let me show you something. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's the Bible says, right? The Bible says that. But Brother Branham said the conduit was the Word. Then how do you get the love of God in your heart outside of the Word? And I preached all these years and I still maintain, my brother, sister, something has got to happen to you and me because of this Word. And that change is going on now. It's very slow. I may die and not get what I want. In fact, it pretty well looks like it. In fact, sometimes I get very discouraged. Think it's better to get out of here and die before I heap up anything else. It's a nice thought, but it's not happened yet. But I tell you that my sermons have been true. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And there's one conduit. That's the Word. If you want genuine love, if you want genuine patience, if you want genuine temperance, if you want God himself, you have got to have the Word. It's still, this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse anybody if a man leaves the Word. It doesn't work. There is no covenant that's valid when you leave the Word. And if you don't have the Word for this hour, that's what we stand on. I know we're a minority. We will never be anything but the barest minority over what we preach in this pulpit and other brothers and sisters in the message. We'll be the barest minority. That's something to rejoice about. They'll hate us because we got to stand for it. Say, well, look, I'm sorry. Where's your vindication? I get phone calls. Always going back and this wonderful man, that wonderful man. Oh, don't give me any more wonderful men. Give me the wonderful God. I'm tired of wonderful men. They all let you down. If I'm a wonderful man, I'll let you down. The more wonderful, the more they'll let you down. Almost. There's one Brother Branham, put it down. There's no big ones. There's no little ones. There's only one holy one. That's the holy God, the mystery brother. And that's what we got to realize. And that life in us must come by that Word. So this Word is everything. That's what I say. Back in the days of Moses, the Exodus, he said, make little frontlets before your eyes. Phylacteries. They bang, bang, bang. The Word, Word. Bang, 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 bang. The hand. Word, Word, Word. Put them around your ankles. Word, Word, Word. Everything. But as Israel said, well, this man I don't like. I prefer the old Pentecostal days, the leeks in the garden. You betcha. The hot time in religious town tonight. Sure. I'm not for it anymore, brother, sister. I don't mind the shouting at all, but you better make it God, because I've been all through the other. See, that's what we're talking about, Brother Van said. The other day, it was the Holy Ghost. See, the evidence of the Holy Ghost, when you can receive the Word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. Now, people say, you don't have to understand the Word, Brother Van says you do. What do you say you don't have to understand, just believe? He's telling you, don't force yourself to understand, just take it. But you will understand. Brother, sister, I could never stand this pulpit and tell you people don't understand. I'm doing my dead level best to communicate to you what I understand to be what the prophet understood. I don't know that I'm 100%, but I'm trying to be. And that's all I can do. I cannot give you revelation, but I can teach it and teach it. And you can come to the place where you can know it word perfect. Praise God for that much. It may get you off some kind of hook down the road if it doesn't save you. And me the same way. Bring the Holy Ghost in to heal us. Little heaven to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell and hell. You can go to hell with a little heaven around you. A lot of people are trying, but I guess they're doing it. We live in a hell around us too. This is all we're going to know is this purging down here. We're not going to be purged up there, brother, sister. As soon as we get to millennium, John saw thrones. Oh, man, he saw a ball going on. He didn't see weeping and wailing and fussing and muzzling. I tell you, we're getting ready for the big thing that's ahead. Actually, it's not very far ahead of us right now. If we could have just had our eyes open like Brother Branham with his visions, you'd see the thing bursting all around us, just breaking on around. So I'm as far as we're going to go this morning. Here, I've got a little note here. And that'll be here. We'll start over next Wednesday again. I'm sorry I just had to read all this, Chip, but I wanted to get it off to let you know that, like, hey, this earth had better burn. And everything had better burn with it. You know why? I wouldn't be happy. And God wants me happy. Now, you might not think so, but God wants me happy. So you want to be happy? Let her burn. Lord, haste the day. Amen. Let's rise and be dismissed. And Joey, have a little tiny. And then you go and the brethren, the board can come back to Brother Joey. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love, mercy, and grace, and the kindness you've shown us. Especially, Lord, to be able to get in this message with Brother Branham here and see some of the things he said and find it right in our newspaper 20-some years later. To see, Lord, the what we consider to be the beginning of the very end, the showdown of the showdown, the rapid acceleration, the cup coming to the place of almost overflowing. In fact, it will be pretty soon. And we can see now where everything is just at a place of guesswork. Science and thought it knew so much, and doctors. They've been the perpetrators of all this upon us, Lord, but under the devil. Education, just what you said it was, gone right to the church. But here's a little folk, and we believe we're part of them that has the wisdom of God. And we know we've got the answer there when he's roaring, and he'll roar against us. But Lord, though the foolish virgin, those that are left here, they'll be hunted down, the bride will be gone. We know, Lord, we're going to have some pressure. We're getting pressure now. We realize that. But Father, by your name and by your grace, we can say the pressure comes. Thank you for it, Jesus. It's going to do something innocent for us as we stand with your word. Now let your word have right away, Lord, that the Holy Ghost may have right away. And we be vessels indeed unto honor. Lights that cannot be hid. Trumpets that don't give uncertain sound, but certain sounds. In short, Lord, the children are of God. Living epistles, read and known, that we are of our Father. Father, what we wouldn't want any more than that, Lord. Oh, God, that's the place, Lord, where the real suffering has to be. And so, Father, may we enter into it, and then into thy gates with praise, and unto thee we give the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.